Stop right there. Before your next project falls apart, what if I told you the difference between failure and success could come down just to one piece of advice? Let me guess. You're asking yourself, am I doing enough to keep this on track? Or, wait, you don't like that. Better yet, you're probably saying, what am I missing? Have you ever asked yourself these questions or at least thought about it if you were making the right decision when it matters most? Then you definitely want to listen to today's episode where we discuss some of the project management advice that I've received that has helped me improve my project management skill set. Now, you know what one thing that you say that you love about me that I appreciate that you guys do love about me is I'm going to be completely honest with you. This won't happen overnight. I'll give you tonight to think it over, but it won't start today. And the learning doesn't stop here because just like you, I am continuing to learn more efficient and effective ways in leading projects every time a project begins and ends. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about some advice that I've received along my journey of this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. You mind if I share a story with you? So one day we were on this client call. We had one of our project team members on there, myself and the client. So just three of us. And as we're having a conversation with the client, I can kind of tell that the project team member didn't really know what he was talking about, but he was fumbling through it in a way that the client wasn't even aware, but I was aware. And I was becoming frustrated because of the fact of I was saying, why didn't we bring this person on the call? Because we're setting not only this person up for failure, but we're also setting the client up for failure. So after the call, I took a deep breath and I said, okay, let me reach out to this project team member and find out what actually happened. And when I got on the phone with him, I said, hey, what happened here? I could tell there were some pieces that were being left out, that were missing. And I was like, that just didn't sound right what you were saying, but we were on a call with the client and I wasn't going to correct you in front of the client like that. So I wanted to make sure that everything is okay. And he said, man, he was like, Edward, you won't believe what happened. They threw me in here at the last minute and I was not really truly prepared, but I knew how much it meant to you, as well as I knew how much it meant to this particular project. So I knew from a high level certain things, but there were a lot of information that was left out because of the person that was supposed to be here actually called out sick the day of and really didn't give any notice or anything. So I literally had to step in at the last minute. And this is why point number three in today's episode is so important, Miss, because I really want to, if I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you, fam, I wanted to go off on this person because I was like, why even get on the call? Why don't we reschedule? But once I heard that story and I got to the root of what was actually going, this person was trying to look out, not trying, they were looking out for the project as well as for me. That is a respect that is not given, it is earned. And so in today's episode, we're going to talk about that point, which is number three, but you're going to see a running theme through all these points. One of them is and we're going to start with point number one, build relationships, not just projects. Again, build relationships, not just projects. You know, strong relationships with team, project team members, stakeholders, and sponsors can lead to better collaboration and smoother project execution. One of the things, family, you have to understand when you get into project management and you're leading projects, you may see that same stakeholder or that same project team member, or maybe even that same sponsor again. And so building strong relationships with these individuals is going to be key to help you have a smoother project execution. Here's some actionable tips. Make it an effort to learn about your team member beyond their job roles, okay? This creates stronger connection. Another one, schedule informal catch-ups with stakeholders to build rapport and address their concerns. A lot of project managers don't take that extra time to schedule maybe a informal catch up and say, hey, I want to know how things are going. And not that cliche, like you're just asking just to ask and you really don't care type thing. No, really take it, really document that in a way that you, the person understands that you care. And the last and final one, express appreciation and acknowledge contributions publicly to foster goodwill. Point number two, you knew this was coming. Documentation over everything. Okay, that is it, but it's not it. Document everything for clarity and accountability. Again, document everything for clarity and accountability. Having written records of decisions, agreements, and changes ensures that everyone is aligned, and this reduces the risk of any miscommunication. Reason why a lot of times projects go bad is because of the miscommunication, whether it's not documented properly, whether the information is not being communicated up to a particular manager. Matter of fact, I'm going to even tell a story here. I had an issue where I'm meeting with this project team member, and he was not communicating to his manager what was going on. So from the outset, the manager just assumed that I was having these multiple meetings, and the meetings really was for his direct report to ensure that he was getting up to speed and making sure he was aligned, and he was asking for him, but he was too embarrassed to ask tell his manager what we were doing as far as additional meetings. So he never had that conversation with them. So I get an email. It's like, hey, why are you having, all these multiple meetings? And right away I had to respond, because if I didn't respond, keeping a professional tone, keeping a professional mindset, explaining the reason why we were trying to get your resource up to speed. And you know what was so interesting about that is the manager called me and he was like, you know what? I want to apologize to you. He said, I didn't even know this was going on. And I said, yeah, I said, a lot of times, the majority of times, again, going back to my original statement, when everyone is not informed, it creates a huge risk of miscommunication. So here's my actionable tips. After each meeting, send a summary of key takeaways, action items, and deadlines. You know, we can get comfortable as project managers, especially with these new tools that are out. And I'm one of the people that have used these tools. So it's one of those things where, and when I'm talking about tools, I'll give you two examples. There's a tool called Otter.ai. Again, Otter.ai, where you literally can send it to a meeting with you and it'll take notes for you. There's another tool. What's the other one? I do believe just using Teams and recording the meeting and then recapping it. But there's a special touch when you can look at that information and really pick and pull out of that information. And sometimes we, as project managers, we get lazy because we're like, there's no value here in putting out these notes, but there's so much value, because what ends up happening, just like the quick story that I shared with you, is that the information may not get communicated up the chain. So you want to make sure that you have it documented. So when someone fires at you to say, hey, well, why are you doing this? This shouldn't have been done. You say, hey, no problem. I can see that you weren't made aware of what was going on. And you could just send the communication. You don't even have to go back and forth. Once they see that information, it creates clarity right away. It's not no back and forth type conversation. This is what we discussed. This was the takeaways. This is the deadline to get it done. All right, I'm sorry. I get off my soapbox. Sometimes I have rants around that, because I believe documentation over conversation is going to be, it beats it every time. Use project management tools to track changes, updates, and decisions. Formally store all documents in an easy, accessible, centralized location where stakeholders can review them. One of the places I've used is SharePoint, ShareFile, Box, Asana. I've used so many different cloud-based tools. Let's move on to the point number three that you guys have been waiting for. Own the problem, don't deflect. Again, own the problems, don't deflect. You know, when I was telling you about the story with the resource where we were on the phone with the client, one of the things is that I didn't want to own that problem, even though I should, because when I seen the project team member show up on the call, I was like, why is he here? And we were already, you know, the client was there and I didn't want to create, you know, any scene. And I didn't want to reschedule because what I left out at the beginning of the story is this was the second time we already had to reschedule. I mean, we rescheduled twice, I think, at that time. So we had to reschedule again. It would have been a third time. And I was like, this is what we have. We just need to go with it. So and instead of blaming others when things go wrong, and what ends up happening is that you become frustrated, become emotional. Sometimes you just need to take responsibility so you can build a culture of accountability and problem solving. Here's my actionable tips. When issues arise, take charge by investigating the root cause, not the surface layer. We always talk about the root cause and present solutions. Hey, that project team member, he understood how important this client call was due to the fact that we rescheduled already twice. And so he stepped in to do his best that he can do. And when I understood that, as long as the client was still happy, even though it was not at the level that I wanted us to be at, we accomplished the goal of meeting with the client, giving them an update. And now moving forward, we can keep him as a backup solution, but keep him engaged highly, just like the primary team member. So that was very important when you're trying to come up with solution. Avoid assigning blame. Instead of using I statement, use we statements to show a collective effort in solving the issue. Instead of saying, well, that person did that, or it's, hey, we did this, we need to figure out a way to solve it. Acknowledge mistakes openly and frame them as a learning opportunity. That was a huge learning opportunity for me, because if I would have created a scene to say, hey, you know what, Mr. and Mrs. Client, we're just going to end this call because we don't have the proper resource on here and I'm not liking how this call is going, and I hang up. Now, there's moments where you may have to step in, but if this person was, this team member was speaking through the information, but it wasn't at a level that the primary resource normally spoke to it at, but it still got the job done, you have to roll with it. And then next time, you know what you need to do next. Point number four. Master the art of listening, not just hearing. Again, master the art of listening, not just hearing. Listening is more than hearing words. It involves understanding emotions, nonverbal cues, and the true meaning behind what was said, not what was heard. I love that. Actionable tips. Practice actively listening by summarizing and reflecting back what you've heard to confirm an understanding. That is one of my favorite techniques that I use when I am having a conversation with a stakeholder or a team member. Hey, this is what I perceive that I heard, and I repeat back what I heard, what I was listening to, and see if we're aligned. If we're not, then I keep going until we have a clear understanding. Next one, pay attention to body language and tone during meetings to spot underlying concerns. And the last and final one, avoid interrupting and giving full attention to the speaker without distractions, i.e. phones or doing emails, basically trying to call what we call multitasking. Point number five, stakeholder engagement is not a one-time event. You know, as I told you, there's a running theme here. What do you see? Well, first we're talking about, at the beginning of this, we opened up talking about people. And then we navigated to problems and holding ourselves accountable, as well as holding the team accountable. And then now we're focusing back on people, because again, the core essence of project management is people. All right, stakeholder engagement is not a one-time event. Initial alignment is essential, but stakeholder needs and expectations can change over time. Ongoing engagement ensures alignment. Here's my actionable tip. Schedule regular check-ins with key stakeholders, discuss progress and any changing priorities. Keep stakeholders up to date on both the successes and challenges to prevent surprises. And last and finally, solicit feedback often to ensure they remain satisfied within the project direction. Point number six, prioritize risk management early. Identify and mitigating risk from the start helps prevent disruption later in the project. Here's my actionable tip. Conduct a risk assessment at the beginning of the project to update it regularly. Also, family, what I'll recommend is when you're having your meeting, put if you don't have if you never worked with these people, as well as just putting it on your agenda, talk about the particular risk that at the start of the meeting, to kick, you know, as you kick it off, because it's going to be important that you keep that in front of them to let them know, hey, I just want to make sure we're moving along effectively with regards to this risk that we've identified. I encourage your team to share concerns early and create contingency plans for high impact risk. And last and finally, monitor risk throughout the project and adjust your approach as needed. Point number 7, tailor your approach to team strength. Listen, every team operates differently. So the way that you led this, your last project may not be the way you lead your current project. So understanding how each team member works best can lead to higher performance. Here's my actionable tips. Learn to recognize when to be directive and when to be more collaborative or even hands-off. Some may need more guidance while others may thrive in autonomy. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thrive in autonomy. I wanna know what the mission is, give me the mission, and if I have any questions, comments, or thoughts, I'll come back to you. I don't thrive well in micromanagement, or I don't thrive well in being in a situation where it's like a constant update instead of providing updates as they're happening in real time. That's more me. I love working in autonomy, but to each his own. Conduct one-on-one meetings, understand each team member's preferred working styles and strength. And then last and finally, assign tasks based on individual strengths and allow room for team members to grow in areas where they excel. Point number 8, never stop learning from your experiences. I should have said this was the most important point, but it's up there. Never stop learning from your experience. Every project, successful or not, offers valuable lessons. I have had some projects that they perform so poorly, from resources leaving to go to different organizations, to having resource constraints, to having budget constraints. I haven't seen it all, but I've seen enough to have some successes and a bunch of failures. However, after each project, I reflected on what I've learned and how I can apply those lessons to future projects. I have 2 bonuses, and then we'll just go into my transformational remarks. Learn to manage upward effectively. Managing your relationship with senior management is important as managing or leading your team. Keep your supervisors informed of project progression, as well as escalate issues when necessary and propose solutions. You know, one of the things I always suggest, family, is when you're escalating, come with a proposed solution. Just don't escalate without a proposed solution, because that's what they hired you for, is to lead the team. However, there are things you can't control. There's things you can't control, but lead with a proposed solution. Here's my last and final bonus. Act as a mediator, not just a leader. Conflicts between team members and stakeholders can derail progress. I'm not telling you something that I heard. I'm not telling you something that I read. I'm telling you something I know. Acting as a mediator helps maintain harmony and forward momentum. Here's my actionable tips. Stay neutral in conflicts and focus on facilitating productive conversations rather than choosing sides. Listen to both parties, acknowledge their concerns, and find common ground to resolve issues. Encourage open communication and collaboration, reinforcing that the team shares the same goals. Here's my 3 transformational remarks. Build relationships, not just projects. Strong relationships with your team, stakeholders, and sponsors lead to better collaboration and smoother project execution. Family, if you don't remember anything we've shared today, this is huge, because when you're building relationships with your resources, whether stakeholders, project team members, sponsors, or executive, it really, truly helps you, because again, you may see these people again. So make an effort to learn about your team members beyond their job roles to create stronger connections, and schedule these informal catch-ups with stakeholders. This also builds rapport and addresses concern. Point number 2, own the problem, don't deflect. Remember what I told you at the beginning of this episode is where I had an issue where I was frustrated with the guy. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was livid. But what I end up understanding is this wasn't this person's fault. They were actually doing us a favor, because we already had rescheduled twice to meet with this client. So another reschedule would have kind of started looking. So once I took a step back and I looked at the root cause by having a question and answering session with this person, I realized that, again, they provided us a solution in real time. And the last and final thing, tailor your approach to the team's strength. The way you led your last project won't be the way you lead your next project. I can promise you that, because there's been projects where I led where I've had to be 100% completely hands-on. Then there's some where I just gave guidance and basically this was such a core team that really understood what made the project work well, which was collaboration, communication, and connection. Oh, I love that. The three C's. So family, until next time, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I hope there's something here that you could take and apply today. I'll give you till tonight to think it over, but tomorrow, I hope you just take action, because again, I make these episodes so that you can take and learn from the mistakes and the successes and sometimes even the failures of my career within project management. Until next time.